That's very, very important. Okay. Good. So we're holding here Beperka Khalil, yeah? Dorosh Abavira.
Yeah. Beperka Khalil.
Zion Shemos Yeshe Yitzhahara. Yitzhahara has six names. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kro'o Ra. Shnema Ki Yitzhah Yavodam Ra Min Urov. Moshe Kro'o Oro. Shnem Maltem Saraz Lavavchem. David Kro'o Tomei Shnem Leiv Tov Rale Kim. Michal Dika Tomei. Shlomo Kori Sone. Shnem Im Rav Sanecha Echilei Lechem. Vim Tzami Ashkeo Mayim. Ki Gecholo Matachoyt Aroyshe. Vashem Yishalmucho. Yishlamucho. 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 Yeshaya Kro Michal Shnema Solo Solo Pane Derech Harim Michal Dech Ami Yecheskel Kro Evan Shnema Seisas Levem Yisarchem Yoel Kro Tzfoni Shnema Satzfoni Achmichem. Okay, now the first thing to understand is it's not just like, you know, obviously it's not random, you know, everyone calling him different names. That's Pashit. It's obviously each one is revealing a different facet of Ra. That's one point. Two, each one, the facet of Ra is revealing is obviously shayach to that person's particular area. Let's take a very simple mashal. Let's say chas v'shalom, a bomb, you know, a rocket hits a house and demolishes it. And that event will be perceived by a dozen people. One person will run in worried about anybody trapped inside. One person will start figuring the damage done to the house and how much money will cost repair. Another person will be calculating where the rocket came from, so where does one strike back at it, and so on. Each one has a different perspective in line with who he is. That's a second nekuda. A third nekuda to bear in mind is the reason why it's so important to be misasik with Ra. Do we look at Satan this way, that way, the other way? Lechor, you can ask yourself, what's the difference? He's bad, and that's that. You know, Melech, if we would be talking about something kedusha, we would have like Chavis Moshe has seven names, you discuss each name, and so on and so forth, what was the meaning of it, and the good. But why would we get so involved with Ra? And the answer is because it is from the Ra that we perceive the Tov. It's in the contrast of Ra that we learn up Tov. And that's why it's very important to learn up Ra correctly in terms of understanding what the Tov is. Okay, so he says like this, each one is Pirish. Kayetza Zeshan Zakorsu Ra. The Ein Suffix Shein Dove Hefech Dove Rak Morale Toiv. Rosh Yakon Spor Korsu Ra, Bameshi Sporch, who are Toiva Miti, a Kayetza Ra Shefecha Toiv. V'ro'ui she'ikor HaKadosh Baruch Hu z'yitzah hara ra ki hu yisbarach nimtza mechuy v'ametzias v'ametzias hu hatoiv kimo yishekosov b'kol nimtza v'yarse ki toiv v'yitzah ra hu hefech zeh shu heda l'kach nikor ra al mishu mechuy v'ametzias l'ken kor ra. Let's talk about this because this is a whole nekuda and a very, very vital nekuda. First of all, all the terminologies that we can describe in the world, are divided between objective and subjective observations. For instance, that something is going at a certain speed, or something has a certain hardness. I have a rack, and I've measured it. I think it's called the NICE, G-N-E-I-S-S number that gives you the hardness of it. Peter, you're from a South African where they have the diamonds. I think diamonds are a 10 or something like that, and everything else is measured in contrast to it. That's an objective phenomena that can be seen and observed anywhere, anytime. So if I tell you something has a number, a nice number of 8, it means it will be scratched by any 10 and will scratch anything under 8. that's repeatable in every single place in the world. It's I could, you know, I could devise different numbers, but it makes a difference. It's still the same. That's an objective fact. When I take a look and say, this is a beautiful painting, there's no standard whatsoever, and therefore different people can feel very differently about things. So that's also so that's the other kind. When we come to Ra and Tov, good and bad, we begin to falter, because nobody will accept it as a subjective, or almost nobody. I'm sure there's always a Meshugna that will do it, but no one will consider it a subjective evaluation. So when we have a painting, I think the painting is nice, and I think it's not nice, and there's no right, there's no wrong. I will buy it if I think it's nice, you won't buy it if you think it's not nice. That's all there is to it. I can use statistics and say most people will find this painting nice, and therefore I can sell it in the open market for X. Most people don't find it nice. I can say most people in America find it nice, most people in Europe don't find it nice. But again, all of these things are niceness and beauty is defined as that which people like. That's the definition of it. No standard. What about Ra and Tov? Nobody will say, no matter which side you're on, that there can be Tov and Ra can vary. Usually things that vary will you stop using the word Tov and Ra. Today, where people don't think that dressing modestly is of any significance, they'll just say it doesn't belong in that category. But if you think that's, no one will say that stealing is good. No one will argue the point. In the most ruthless absolute dictatorships, they'll never say, well, we're interested in bad. They'll just say, we're great, we're good, we provide for the people. Americans are naughty and nasty, and, you know, whatever. So those are the things that are. So we come into a real problem of what is Ra and what is Tov. The only answer we can give that is possible, there's no, when someone comes along and says that Tov, the good is that which brings the best positive results for the most people, that is absolutely something most of us don't live by. For instance, if I come up with a product, I come up with a Gavaldica, I come up with an iPad, something, then I'm not going to sell it at the price that most people are able to have it. No one runs a business like that. You will sell it at the price that you will maximize your profits. That's what business is about. The fact that if I lower the price by half, more people in the world will enjoy an iPad is great. So let the UN give out money for people to buy iPads. I'm in a business manufacturing, and my job is to maximize profits using the price times the amount of customers. That's it. So, if we can save one life if somebody is a very wealthy man and he has some illness that requires $10 million worth of treatment, and someone tells him, well, you're one person, those $10 million would save, two million people in South Africa or in Africa from malaria. And my answer would be, the answer would be, well, but that's me, and it's them. It's not really something that we buy into fully, and it's certainly not and I could argue that as well. Why is doing the good to most people? Maybe people who are more important people, the people that will give back to society more. And again, at the end of the day, I think I'm more important than many people. And every person thinks about himself. You know, we save our skin first, and then we think about the second one. So we really, really, the definition of Tov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standard. So being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metzias of the world, the Atzmias of the world, then the sense of right and wrong that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the standard of the Tov around the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tov is Tov, and that's where man split off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nachash sold only one item. The Nachash didn't have what to sell to Armishan. Armishan was in Gan Eden. You can't, you know, there's not much, you can't buy better lots than in Gan Eden. And he had, you know, the Malachim, the Tzolim Basar, and the San Yayin. So there was nothing he could sell him. The one thing the Nachash could sell was, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave everything, but there's one thing that he was cheap with, and that is the core distinction between bad and good. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's declaration that this is good and this is bad, that for us makes it good and bad, and we have no real deep insight into it. We can feel it, but we can't explain it in any way. It doesn't translate itself to anything that we would call objective. So the Mela, there is nothing that is going to give us that sense at all. Now, so that's something that is a in the core meaning of Tovah and Ra. What? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can label something as Tov, and by the inverse of it is Ra. So that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is not what he's about is Ra, and therefore existence, in a sense, identical to Tov, and non-existence is synonymous with Ra. Ra is not non-existence. Ra is a non-existence. Those are the two guiding lights of Tov and Ra.
Professor, can you just explain a bit more? I don't still really understand the connection between Metzias and Tov. Can you explain that a bit more?
Because, okay, the only absolute in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything exists, like the Rambam says, simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has willed it into existence. Tov are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills. Ra are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tolerates as a necessity for the Tov. To give an example, let's say a person is building a building, and while you're putting up the brick or the arches, you need to have scaffolding to hold things in place. So someone who comes by and, you know, he sees scaffolding standing and frameworks up and stuff like that, can't distinguish between which is what. But once, so if I come to a building site, I see all sorts of things, I'm not sure what's what. Somebody who's who understands building will tell me, This is the building, and therefore it's there to stay. This is there for a reason, and as soon as you saw those portable bathrooms that you have, they will be gone the day the workers are gone. The scaffolding will be gone the day the structure of the building is has its own ability to sustainability. It supports itself. So Tov is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in the Bria, and therefore that is Metzias. That's why Tov will stand and Ra will disintegrate, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is not Ra. He needs Ra as a means to help Tov exist, and therefore will crumble. Now let's take something, I guess, in hindsight, which is always the wise way to go. And I remember once as a young boy, I was in a yeshiva, and one boy was sort of, you know, younger kids. It was a kind of a very yeshivish yeshiva where kids were expected to go, you know, to be ahead. And one boy was making fun of a second boy, and he said something along the lines of, he always makes a leaning on yesterday's Gemara. Like, you know, so using yesterday's. When we remember communism was there to stay. Not only was there to stay, there was no way to just figure out how it could ever disintegrate. You know, when you have, I don't know, a quarter of your population busy policing the other three quarters, then I mean you have a foolproof system. And there was no way, you know, and anybody who using conventional wisdom would have said, the question is, will communism ever overtake capitalism? Will capitalism make war and better it? But that communism would just kind of disintegrate without just the sort of poof was something that was unthinkable. And it just, you know, I remember I spoke about it as an editor at the time, Dave. I said, you know, remember today, because tomorrow they'll have explanations. But it's disappearing. And the answer is, because something that's built on Ra, it's be'etzem built on a core of Sheker, and therefore it has no Kiyum. But Ra has a very, very powerful projection of Kiyum, but doesn't have any real Kiyum. So, in a certain sense, let's take something that the Maharal speaks a lot about. He speaks about it when he discusses Malchus Roma, and he says that, you know, it's the fourth animal, and Hashchasa is very much part of its core. The wanton killing and destruction, the fact that they enjoy seeing things, the core that enjoys seeing things being destroyed, crushed, is that midah of non-kiyum, of wanting not kiyum in the world, a certain nihilism of sorts. That's the root of Esav. So you know, there's the koach of Ra at its sharpest is zeh keneged zeh, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's havaya, which means kiyum, and tov. Rabbi Shapiro says always, the word tov comes from like hatavas haneiros, which is that which allows the flow of the oil and the continuation of flame, as the word Ra comes from to break into smithereens. He brings a pasuk to roy and b'shevet barzel, you'll break them up with a staff of steel. So the word Ra is when there's no continuity, when things are broken and chopped up, whereas Tov is Hemsheichius. So the two, and ultimately Ra has no Kiyum. A, within the Bria itself, Ra cannot have a Kiyum, because it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed Kiyum to. So the best it can have is a pseudo Kiyum, a temporary Kiyum, and so on. And certainly in the ultimate, since it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes, then and it's hefech what HaKadosh wishes, it will not have a kiyum. That I think is what it's about. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it Ra, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could really give it that absolute title of Tov and Ra. I think I maybe with this one, but I once, you know, I've used this marshal many times. Please tell me if I repeat myself. The, you know, people intuitively feel that difference, even if they protest and claim they are atheists or whatever it is. Let's use a following thought experiment. I particularly am not fond of heights. I you know, climbing up after two steps on a ladder, it requires a serious cheshbon nefesh on my part. If I am really willing to move up a few more steps on a ladder, I'm scared of heights, not excessive, so but enough that climbing to the top of a ladder is not the thing I prefer to do. If somebody were to come and tell me, you know, I'm a psychologist and I modify behavior of people, I could modify your behavior, and 10 lessons, and you'll learn you'll shitty up a flagpole without any problems. So my only issue will be cost effectivity. How much you charge for it? Is it worth it for me to spend X amount of dollars to get over that fear when I really that's not my occupation, I don't climb rooftops. But if a guy says, I'll give it to you for free, a long summer afternoon, great, it's fine. I'm very happy with that. Because I recognize fear of heights is simply the mind. It's very, very subjective. It's not, and therefore I will have no problem. Let's say somebody comes along to me, or to most anybody, even a sworn atheist, and says, listen, how's Parnassa? I say, so-so. He says, well, you know, why don't you just walk into the room here, there's a big coat room, why don't you just go from pocket to pocket and take the wallets? I'm talking about pre-credit card. The muscle predates credit cards, but it's kind of useless, or maybe not so useless, and so on. So the guy will say, I can't do that. That's terrible. That's stealing. So I'll reply, your horror at stealing, it's just a condition of mind. It's because your mind's been conditioned like that. Somebody, you know, raised you from a young childhood and kept telling terrible, 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 terrible. I'm a great psychologist. I will decondition you. And within, after 10 lessons, you'll every time you hug somebody, his wallet's going to be in your hands. You're going to have an easy parnassa. There's not a person who's we would consider to be within range of normal that would say yes. Even the most sworn atheist. And I'll use logic and I'll say, listen, you know, Thomas the atheist, there is no God. It's good and bad is all a conditioning of the mind. Everything is about a stimulus to certain parts of the brain. Let's re-simulate it. And if the person will protest, but these poor people will starve and this and that, which let's forget that, I'll tell them, okay, so stick to the wealthy. Go to the opera house and do it. What's the problem? You know, they won't even notice they lost it, and you'll have a comfortable life. Nobody. And the question is why? The answer is because you recognize it as being extremely different in a condition of mind. You will teach your child. You will not teach your child, if you're very careful to be a kind of objective, scientific. You're going to go long not to teach a child this is right, that's right. But the core set of values of being honest and thoughtful and so on, you're going to. And again, any atheist who's halfway decent will not, you know, he may or may not slip on some things, but his child, he's going to teach the values. The answer is because we recognize there is something that's value, and we don't believe our explaining it away. We don't believe that altruism is a evolutionary device to keep the tribe alive and this and that. Nobody thinks to keep the tribe alive. So, I mean, we don't have kids, we don't perpetuate, so what's the point of it? So why should we keep the tribe alive? And it's an l'shitascha, it's an anachronism that was built into us. But it's not like that. People understand good is good, and we fail to explain why is the good why is it on par with the laws of physics that we consider. When a Nazi comes along and says, well, the supreme value in our country was obedience. You also believe in obedience, the parents, obedience, authority, you believe. In our world, listening to your commanding officer's order is the most important value. And you will say, well, it's a value, but it doesn't beat the value of murder and all that stuff, and so on. You will be very, very, and you'll believe that person should have known better. And if the person doesn't know better, you will feel that he's lacking in basic humanity. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the reason why stone was destroyed, even though they had no mitzvahs, there was no shocharuch, but the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, and other different places, and Rabbeinu Bechaya is a mefurish yisori haTorah, he says, mitzvahs and averis that are the type that are hardwired into every human being over on it causes you to die. And the logic is simple. This is something that is it's so basic to human nature that if the computer is messing up time and again, then it's a faulty computer. Then it needs to be trashed. It needs to be junked, because this is some every human being has. What makes a human being is that he has a certain moral hardwiring. And if he's lacking the hardwiring that stealing or killing or maiming is evil, then he's not human. Therefore it's Chayav Nisa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who can call it Tov and Ra in a most fundamental way. And that's the power of Metzias, and that's why when we speak about Klal Yisrael, we speak about the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. We speak about Klal Yisrael is never going to be kolah, that they'll exist forever. The point in that is not simply that it's a nice thing. You know, one of the nice things you can promise somebody is Arichas Yomim. So Klal Yisrael will live forever. It's really what it is an identifying of Klal Yisrael as a group that is shayach to the Emes. The Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael is because of they are the most similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's core midas, and that's why they'll exist forever, because they reflect the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep sending all sorts of Ashgacha to weed out people and so on that are not shaykh to it. But at the end of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what he gave Klal Yisrael is Chaya Olonot HaBasechenu, that because Klal Yisrael has an Achiza in the Emes and in the Tov, they last forever. The Rambam, when he speaks of Olam Haba, the Rambam points out two attributes of Olam Haba. Doesn't go into any other fancy stuff about Olam Haba and so on. He writes it's the people who are inquisitive about what the weather's like in Olam Haba and and what the landscaping's like and so on. Missed the boat totally. But the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, he says it lasts forever, and it's not shortcut. It's Yom Shekulet Aruch, and it is Tov and not Ra. In other words, the two things that seem to be linked together is its eternity and its goodness in a very, very absolute sense. Okay, next, let's the Moshe Koros Oro. Ke'odon kasha oro ke'ilo hoya beri acheres yimishu nomo. Olekach Moshe Koroi oro. Rotzoleima. Ki madregis Moshe godol ma'oid ad she'ein li'yitzer ha'shum shayach sal Moshe. Lefi etzem ha'losoi shu isha loikai. Va'yitzer ha'moaz beina. Avo ein kokach rocho k'moshu b'madregis kodosh baruch hu she'kor ra she'ein otev shayach ra klau. V'yilu madregis Moshe ma'losoi lo'yik k'moizel fi koro oro. So he says like this. The Ra and Tov do not ever intersect. It's Ra and Tov are like matter and antimatter, two totally distinct entities that one is no shach to the other. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's Tov and Ra. An Oral is, on the one hand, he is within the divisions of humanity. An Oral is another type of, it's a different Uma. When somebody changes from Oral to Nimol, he becomes a different person. It's part of the Geirus process. We name a child when we do a bris because he's come into being. It's a bria chadasha, so to speak. Those are all inyanim that are So an Earl is very distinct for Kaisrael. When we speak about Klal Yisrael's, when we speak about Klal Yisrael's distinction from Musolam, it says Yisrael, even if he's an Oral, when somebody's Noidim in Arelim, it means the Goyim. We speak of Goyim as Arelim, despite the fact that many Americans are circumcised, many Muslims. It's different. But at the end of the day, it's still the same person. It's a humankind. I can't say that an Oral is totally doesn't overlap with a Mohel, because they're both human beings. An Oral can become a Mohel. So they are of the same nature in that sense, but they're not. But very, very, very distinct. So it's already a Madrega lower than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Madrega, in the sense that it is already part of humanity, but two distinct forms of humanity, two distinct umos, in a way that we have the strongest sense of distinction between the two. And any questions? Because I have to go soon. Any questions?
You just see on the RL, the Ra is connected to the Toiv, right?
Right. Well, by becoming, you have a musig of Kekotn Shenoilad when you become this Gaia. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not, you can't say that there's no point of intersection. An RL becomes a Mohel, so he becomes like a Berich Hadasha, but he's the father of the Berich Hadasha. Whereas Tov and Ra don't have a common shorish. They're not, it's not two variations of anything. You know, let me go back something to TTS before, Peter, and I think it's a good description. Many of the things in this world can always be traced back to a common denominator. Many different phenomena. And human activities and so on, and you always go back to an early shorish. So many activities in this world can be traced back and seen as coming from a common shorish. The one item that we can't do that with is Tov and Ra. Let's take a different example. I can, as a teacher, let's say I'm using techniques to teach. One technique is to be very approachable to Talmidim and warm and encouraging. One is to distance them and to push them away and to be harsh. If I'm doing both of them out of a keen understanding of what will motivate them, because my goal is to motivate them, then that's that. Then we have it there and their motive, and it's all part of the motivation. Tov and Ra be'etzem have no common denominator. They're not coming from the same place, because one is a Kadosh Baruch Hu and one is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The only true opposites is A and minus A, or A and not A. The only example that everything can, even hot and cold, are of varying degrees of temperature. It has a common denominator, and it's just different degrees of it. This is something very, very different. Okay.
Kadosh
Baruch Hu should send, I don't know, Yeshua real quick. It's really, it's you know,
Good Shabbos.
It reminds me of, you know, sometimes there's like this big piece of furniture that tilts over, and there's that horrified moment when you're not sure, will it fall over or will it sort of tilt back to its place again? And you know, you look at this and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's will it calm down and settle, or is it chas v'shalom? I don't know. So, okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, thanks for the
Shabbos. Very nice.